big part of tomorrow will be the Major League Draft, the amateur draft. And Bobby Evans joins us, the general manager of the Giants. Bobby, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Marty. How are you this morning?
Good, very good. Ready to go. A quick one here for us as the game is going to be at 10:35 this morning. But I know you guys are incredibly busy. It's an exciting time. Tomorrow, the amateur draft starts. You get two picks here, 18 and 31. Tell me, type of draft? Is it a heavy college draft, high school draft? What are we looking at?
You know, I think there's a good mix, but there's some pretty good bats that, you know, could go off the board early. But a good mix of high school and college. I'm sure you're going to see again a good balance, but it's always going to have a little more college, just because, you know, high school guys are harder to sign after the, you know, fourth or fifth round. But it's an interesting board. There's not a clear cut number one, and I think that it makes it all that harder because you got to follow a lot of guys.
Who are some of the top names? I know you and I talked about this last year. I know it's the top one or two or three that are kind of the consensus, the big names in the draft that we should hear tomorrow night.
Well, as I said, there really is no consensus number one, and that's what's interesting about this draft, is that, you know, many, many times there's always that one or two or three guys that everybody expects they're going to go off the board first. But I think everybody's board could be different just because there is no clear-cut one this time.
All right, Swanson, that's a name I've heard. This is the shortstop from Vanderbilt, am I correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, that's one I've heard. That's a name that, you know, you hear two or three names kind of consistently. That is one that I've heard. So what might you be looking for? And you got two good picks here, 18 and 31. I mean, I can't remember the last time you picked that, two that high. What are you kind of looking for?
Well, when you look at the board, you're gonna rank for us who we see as a combination of the best athlete, the guy with the best upside, meaning that he may not be ready for the big leagues as soon as maybe some of the other guys, but ultimately his future is brighter than many others on the board. So you're gonna look, you know, who's the best guy on the board based on some of those criteria. Okay. We're not necessarily focused on pitching or hitters or high school or college. We're going to have to remain open-minded because, you know, there's 17 guys that are going to go off the board before we even get our first pick.
Well, you should get somebody pretty good, though. The first rounder's always interesting. You know, I used the line with you last year. You know, Grady Fuson always told me after the first round, that's when you pick the major leaguers. But you should get someone who should be kind of exciting. I imagine that 18th slot, a big upside high school kid or maybe a college kid.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. I mean, there's some good names on the board, and it's always fun. I mean, just because for these young kids, it's an opportunity to start their professional career, and for us, it's an opportunity for us to chart the future. And our minor league system's been a big part of our success, and we need to continue to draft well.
All right. Now, I know the draft is a big deal now, and it'll be televised tomorrow, I think, starting at 5 o'clock. And you've got at least one person back there. Tony Siegel is back there. Now, does he make that pick himself, or do you tell him what to do?
Well, Lee Smith.
Oh, that's right. Lee Smith is there.
The person making the selection. But it'll be a phone call from our draft room to Lee there. And Lee, of course, is, you know, perennial Hall of Famer. I don't know if they'll ever give him a chance to get in on the regular vote, but we're excited to have him represent us. He's done a great job in our minor league system, working with our pitchers. He's a loud voice to all of our minor league kids in terms of how to approach hitters, and has a good game plan that he's helped pass along to these guys.
Yeah, he's been terrific. I was only joking about Tony Siegel, you know that. But the longtime baseball man will be there and smiling, I'm sure, when he makes that first pick along with Lee Smith. All right, we'll go away from the draft. It's going to be interesting, 18 and 31. Last year's pick, Tyler Beede, boy, and I know there's some needs in the organization. He got moved up to Richmond, had a tremendous first start.
You know, that was a great outing, and it was fun to watch a little bit of it over the internet, and just the approach and the way he went after the hitters. And it's a big outing for him because you're starting to face, you know, guys that are much closer to the big leagues in terms of those hitters. Double-A is made up of really the combination of the best players of two A-ball clubs with every organization. So you start to see some better hitters and a tougher league, and I think that there's all eyes on him, especially the fact that he's pitching up in New England, which is where he's from.
Yeah, and I think in reading through the clips of San Jose, maybe the sinker, he's a ground ball guy, and he's getting a lot of ground balls. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, this changeup and his, you know, he'll mix in his slider, and he's really a four-pitch pitcher, and he's just got to use them all. But, you know, the ball can get very heavy and can give you a lot of ground balls.
All right, Bobby Evans joins us nicely here on this Sunday morning as we're all getting up and getting ready for baseball. Madison Bumgarner yesterday pitched, of course, extremely well. He did something that no one's ever done before, goes eight innings, gives up a grand slam, doesn't walk anybody, strikes out more than 10, and gets a win. That's the first time, I think, since 1900 that's happened. It seems like every day in baseball you're seeing some pitcher do something that's never happened before. But he did a little better getting a little extra rest. And you've got Jake Peavy pitched last night. We'll talk about him during the show today. Kane is coming back. Is there a possibility, did you guys talk at all about a six-man rotation? Is that on the board at all?
Well, we did discuss early in the season, anticipating that we would have everyone at full health. We did discuss it early just because we know the Mets did it at one point, and it has its pluses and minuses. The hard part is, you know, you do have off days, so invariably that means now guys, instead of getting 4 days rest, they're going to start getting 6 days rest, and so that can be challenging. It's a different demand on your starters, but I wouldn't rule it out. It's not necessarily our first choice. We're going to keep an open mind, but I think that it's a problem we'd like to have, where we have everybody back and everybody good to go. There's always a possibility. I think it's, you know, given the nature of it, it's outside the box. Even though it's been done before, it's still unusual, and I think we'd have to make sure that every single starter would be comfortable with that. And it starts with really Bruce Bochy and Dave Rigetti. Are they comfortable with that? And I think that it's a concept that, you know, you have to keep an open mind to, but it's not necessarily the front-running choice.
Okay. I mean, I did the whole show on it yesterday about, you know, because people ask the same question. What are you going to do when Kane comes back? What are you going to do when Peavy comes back? Because you do have a rotation that would get, you know, Vogelsong had a great month. Hudson gives you a good game back and forth. Lincecum has been solid all year. What do you do with all these people? I mean, I realize the answer is, well, let's figure it out when we get there because things can change. But this is really an interesting dilemma. I don't think I've come across this before with the Giants.
Well, it would be if both those guys came back, it'd be a seven-man rotation.
Exactly.
It's a lot of good arms and a lot of guys who've had some significant success, not only in their careers but already this season.
All right, so we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But it is something you guys are going to have to deal with. Casey McGee is back. I just want to understand the contractual relationship. He is up, and if so, could he be optioned back again without his consent, or do you have to go through that again? How does that work?
Yeah, when a player has 5 years or more of major league service, you can't sign their contract without their permission. So you wouldn't be able to sign him to AAA without his permission. And he did do a good job down there, so it's refreshing. And again, the depth that he brings, particularly at third base, with a young player like Duffy, who's done a great job, is helpful. And we don't deny that. And we will, again, continue to address the roster on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, it's good to have Casey back. And clearly Duffy's done a nice job. And hopefully it'll continue.
Yeah, he's been terrific. I mean, it's almost like someone compared him to Matt Carpenter yesterday. I see a little bit of that in him.
That's a high compliment. And he is a player who has the ability to play other places. And the way he gives you competitive at bats, and he hits the ball hard.
Yeah.
And we see the benefits of that, and he goes to all fields.
Yeah, I saw it, really, and I thought that was a good comparison. I thought more Bill Miller, but I like the Matt Carpenter because he hits those line drives to right, and Carpenter will go all over the park. Just so I'm clear, if McGee was to be optioned back to Sacramento again, it would be with his consent again.
Correct. You cannot assign him via outright or via option without his consent. And it's unlikely that, you know, that Casey would be willing to do that again. At some level, you know, given his slow start, I think that his mindset was, let me try to get some consistent at-bats, which I'm not going to get at the big league level for the next 2 weeks. Let me go down to the minor leagues and get those at-bats and see where I'm at. And I think that he proved to himself that his bat speed and his approach could play back up here when the opportunity presented itself. And again, you know, it's different pitching, but at the same time, he had some quality at-bats down there. And
good.
It'd be unlikely. You never know, but you wouldn't expect him to go back.
All right, very good. All right, you may not need much in the trade market. As I say, you got a lot of players. But are phone calls starting just in baseball? I know the Cole Hamels stuff and Cueto, and not that we're going to get into names, but is it percolating already? I know it's June, but do you get the feel within baseball people are starting to feel stuff out?
Well, there's been a relatively good amount of conversation with clubs on various options really coming out of camp. And I think part of that is because clubs recognized coming out of spring training they had extra arms or extra bats that they wanted to at least see where clubs were at. And so in some ways, those clubs have stayed in touch just to see if something's changed. I think that the further we get in the month of June, those conversations will get more serious and you'll start seeing some of those deals acted upon. But I think it's just going to be an active 6 weeks or 7 weeks leading up to the deadline, just because it's already been fairly, fairly good amount of communication in the meantime.
All right. I see Trumbo went to Seattle. That's a fairly big trade for early in the season.
No, it is. And again, you know, clubs are starting to recognize their needs, you know, after 2 months of the season. And I think recognizing that and seeing where they have depth and, even the trade of Hamilton was significant early in the year. And so, you know, there's opportunities for clubs to get early on to fix problems and clubs that are willing to make deals that are not necessarily going to set them back, but are going to hopefully help their season. And as you get towards the deadline, you're starting to see clubs trade off pieces in a sense that maybe they're not planning for this year. They're looking towards next year. But I think clubs right now are still making deals that they hope will help them even in this season.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, the Phillies will be one. I know they're waiting to pull the trigger on a couple of things there, which will end the logjam, let's put it that way, once the Cole Hamels thing, if it happens. I think that's my opinion on that. Do you have needs? I mean, I look at the roster. I did the show yesterday. I said, you know something? I'm not so sure you have any needs. This may be the team. This could be it.
Yeah, as I look at the deadline, I think about, you know, where we need depth in terms of off the bench. But yeah, I think that we're very pleased with where we're at. And there's a long time between now and the end of July for needs to emerge or needs to show themselves. But I like our club. I think that there's a lot of things that are going in the right direction, and it's a good group of guys that I think are proven their potential success in the postseason, and no reason to undo it.
All right, last thought for Bobby Evans. I appreciate you being on this morning, Bobby. Is the starting rotation, other than Bumgarner, still sort of auditioning? Is it still week to week with them, or do you say, all right, these are our guys?
Well, I think that when you look at our rotation, the youthfulness of Heston, you know, brings with it, you know, sometimes just incredible outings and sometimes days where he seems to lose his feel. And that inconsistency is part of what happens for a guy in his first year in the big leagues. And I think you have to acknowledge that, recognize it, and not overthink it.
Okay.
And in some way, he has to get the ball every fifth day to figure out how to, you know, keep the momentum going from one start to the next. And I think that's part of the challenge. I don't think you see too many starters in their first year in the big leagues, you know, put up the kind of games that he's put up on an every outing basis. I mean, you're going to have some downturns. So he's, in terms of being, one guy that you have to watch, you want to make sure that he continues to keep his concentration and his focus and his approach, as well as his confidence. But when you have a veteran like Tim Hudson, a veteran who's done it for us for several years now, Ryan Vogelsong, Madison Bumgarner, Tim Lincecum continued to have positive outings, sometimes extremely great outings, and sometimes not so great. And you know, Tim's preparation for this season really set him apart, gave him an opportunity to, you know, to really help us early in the season here, and I hope it continues. But it's hard to think about, you know, where the adjustment comes in the rotation when Kane and Peavy come back. But we recognize something's going to have to be done, and it'll be a hard decision, and it'll be well thought out. You look at Vogelsong, he hasn't really pitched out of the bullpen. In the case of Tim has, but he prefers to start. Chris Heston is a rookie who really needs to keep getting his opportunities. So there's not an easy decision there. And it's, again, it's a good problem to have, but it's one that you hope, again, that you can make the right move so that it keeps the momentum flowing, because we're built on our pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for taking the time this morning. I really appreciate it. I know you're going to be busy. It's going to be exciting tomorrow when that first pick is made, and a 31st pick. So good luck. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be tough to top Tyler Beede from last year. This guy looks like he's on the fast track to me.
Well, we're very fortunate, and we are excited about tomorrow. It's going to be five picks in the top 125 or 126. Of course, there's only, I think, through second round tomorrow. So,
all right, cool. All right, Bobby, thanks again. We'll see you during the week.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Bobby Evans, the general manager of the Giants. Always, you learn something. If you listen carefully, you learn something, and especially about the starting rotation. That last answer really was terrific. All right.